I'd like to welcome everyone that is here today or on the phone on behalf of myself, Susan Turnbull, Susie Iacono from National Science Foundation, and Richard Spivak from NIST. We'd like to welcome you to our Collaborative Expedition Workshop number 75. Today we're focusing on lightweight tools for scientific collaboration, or a more kind of formal title, a role of cyber infrastructure and scientific knowledge, emergence, validation, and peer review. And this was actually a topic, a theme suggested last fall. We had a planning workshop, and this was one of the important themes for us. And driving here, I kind of had the sense, as we think about the lightweight tools and their importance in all of our virtual organizations, and inclusive of the scientific organizations, it just seems like the role of context and in managing context, where we're able to give our infrastructure sufficient capabilities to help us manage that context is actually one of the key factors. What I'd like to do is set the context for this particular workshop in just a few moments and give you some background to the workshop series. This is part of a monthly open public workshop series whose broadest purpose is to transcend insularity and really encourage open collaboration and learning across many different communities. But what we want to be able to do is open up the dialogue across the science and the service agencies and really draw upon the best that's coming to be available through our information technology research and development. So what the way we try to do that is each month we actually organize around a common purpose that's actually larger than any institution and kind of that larger picture through the dialogue. And what we find is the more differences in the room lends itself to the greater richness in a greater 360 view across the communities. And so it's an opportunity to kind of lead setting who are here, self-select. It's this particular purpose, group people in, and we ask a lot of questions. We don't answer a lot in final, but just leaving with a larger perspective of the whole we found is important, as well as the networking opportunities to work with others. So we think that this is part of the conducive conditions around breakthrough innovations. You've heard about the siloing, the stovepipe problems, and we're trying to move from what has been the language in our intelligence community, need to know, need to share, and really a build to share type of infrastructure. Now, this is where the context matters, because we all bring lots of expertise, and it's very easy to be overwhelmed just in our ability to understand the terms and the way that we use our language. So how can we draw from our best, what we bring as human beings, as well as what our technology infrastructure can do to augment our learning environments, so we can be informed and not overwhelmed. And what we found is actually the role of people through the communities of practice who are willing to share and exchange understanding with one another are key, as well as within the federal government. We've been working towards an agile framework through our enterprise architecture. And bedrock to all of this is our open collaboration, open standards. Very, very quickly, you may have heard this story, but it kind of reflects the mantra that's come to the fore over the 7 years of the workshop series. In design, we either hobble or support people's natural ability to express forms of expertise. I won't go into great detail, but this ship that was built for the Swedish king was intended to be the biggest, the best, beyond the scale, in all forms of anything that had been done previously. It was, you know, extraordinary in all elements. However, in the course of the build, the captain learned that it was an unstable ship. He had his men running up and back across the deck, and he had a call. Now, we don't know all the details, but the long and short of it, as this beautiful ship left the safety of the Stockholm Harbor, it turtled and sank. Again, they had the best resources, the best design, but it may be that there were communication breakdowns. It may be along the lines of Amdahl's Law, as you move to larger scale with many more communities, somehow you need to raise the scale of the communications. Long and short of it also is the ship was eventually raised, and you can now go to a museum and do your own simulation of what you would design differently so this would be seaworthy. It may be an example, again, for the distributed scientific and knowledge infrastructures that we're moving to. How is it that we create the right conditions for good success? So, the workshop is jointly sponsored not only by my agency, but also under the CIO Council. I co-chair an emerging technology subcommittee with Richard Spivak, as well as we're greatly supported by the Subcommittee on Networking and Information Technology, R&D, and the associated coordinating groups. This is the body of science agencies that fund networking and IT research and development, and this workshop series also serves them as they get the pulse for what our federal service agencies are experiencing. This can be a test bed to feed their long-term research. I'll go through this quickly, but again, kind of the mantra, how can we move from our insular kind of stovepipe approach to draw upon what we see possible through a more federated, distributed architecture, a little bit more of a resonance of wind chimes. You don't take everybody's boundaries away, but you find the right balance of autonomy and being able to draw from one another, build up our foresight, improve collaboration, and sustainable life cycles. I don't think Richard is here yet, but here I will be glad to tell you more about this community. Also joining us is Jim Disbro, who chairs our Emerging Technology Life Cycle Process, ET.gov, and he'll have an opportunity to tell you more. But any of the tools that or capabilities that any of you are involved in, we sure would like to have those registered at ET.gov if you'd be willing to do that. So the workshop series also serves our emerging technology lifecycle process to be better able to try to accommodate the pace of change in requirements. And so this workshop provides that avenue. This is some more background on the ET.gov lifecycle process. And overall, we've found that this approach, high frequency, low cost, accommodating people remotely, has been valuable. We've, as I mentioned, began this workshop series about 7 years ago. If this is your first time, welcome. You're more than welcome to continue to join us, invite colleagues. It is public, no fee. It is just, again, a chance to think out loud together around a purpose that we care about and that matters. I think I've kind of spoken to this, again, importance of appreciating the whole picture, the sustained dialogue. It's not always easy to be surrounded by people who are speaking what you think you understand, but they're coming from a different domain or discipline, and the words, of course, can get in the way and can make it less possible for us to draw upon each other's expertise. And this informal process helps to overcome that and also helps us within our respective settings not to duplicate each other's efforts. This organizing around communities of practice kind of speaks again to context. When virtual organizations can hold their respective knowledge together in a quality shared space, we've been working with intergovernmental communities through my office, and that is quite significant. I'll kind of skip over the details here, but when the technology in a lightweight but highly reliable fashion, platform independent, any file format, capabilities not lost, this is, we're hearing the all the glamour around Web 2.0, but this is the kind of the the fundamentals, and then it really means, I think, that there's more opportunity for the right level of quality sharing and conversation. And as I might suggest, is that people aren't caught rigging the ship again and again, technically, but can mentally sail with one another. And I almost see this as like a meta scaffold that can support the, and this is the case, that can support the scientific communities of today. I have an assignment with Department of Energy on learning and supporting open science grid. It's the physicists from around the world, shared platform, doing everything they can to advance the discoveries in their domain, as well as the Earth system grid. You know, similarly, there really are some pretty fascinating communities that are underway, and you'll be hearing about that today. I think in the interest of time, I'll just kind of skip over this. Let me just say that the slides are available for this workshop and all of our workshops to date. In some cases, we also have audio files available. Today, I'll mention the speakers have agreed to our recording of their presentations. We will just be recording the presentations, not the question and answer session. But over the years, we've learned that you need an open place for the entrepreneurs, the smaller business capabilities with good ideas to have an opportunity and a platform to gain visibility. And that's what our et.gov offers, and that's what this workshop series tries to offer as well. This is just a little bit of background. We kind of think of it as a bit of a frontier outpost. Maybe not. A few years back, the language of collaboration, certainly the concepts around the social networking were a little less out there, and we found that there's some good fundamentals and values in this type of time spent together. And for all of us, it is about leveraging towards improved citizen service delivery. In all the years of the workshops, we move around on various different topics, but kind of a high abstract level, it again comes down to being able to have sufficient shared understanding among communities that allows us to draw upon one another. And that takes a little bit of doing. It takes some time, and where, again, our technologies can amplify the returns on the time spent. We all know the hassles around trying to work with a community, and all you've got is trails of email that you have to find and put together. That's where these quality virtual spaces can accommodate that more rapid formation and productivity of communities. We've done, real work in this fashion, including the data reference model that brought all our agencies together, and that's part of what this place can offer, too, is the opportunity to learn from some cross-boundary scenarios. And, part of the focus, actually, wherever you turn now, I think, lightweight Web 2.0 tools is out there. It's been a part of our conversation for some time, and I've touched on that. So today we're quite delighted to have practitioners who are doing very significant work in this area. I'll run through this briefly and do a little more introduction later. If I'm a little brief on the bios, again, everyone's bio is posted already on the wiki site. First, we're looking forward to hearing from Ron Jones from NOAA, Introduction to NOAA Watch, which is a very significant tool that is enabling multiple science agencies to contribute in a portal and in a space that requires very little technical difficulty in acumen, but greatly supports the public's ability to find important information in a broad range of areas that impact their health. And we'll have plenty of time for Q&A as well as introductions around the room, which is part of our workshop series. And then next, Ron, we'll go back through the first presentation and demonstrate a really important methodology that he's evolved that, in effect, makes the presentations available in multiple modalities. And that also is important to our 508 compliance, basically the federal requirement that we accommodate people with disabilities in our information technology programs and services. Next, we'll be hearing from Ravi Maduri and Brian Thiemann, both from Argonne National Lab. As I mentioned, virtualization is here in the federal government. We'll be learning what's happening in this particular national lab, first about the tool, and then Brian Thiemann from the Advanced Photon Source, his experience with this tool. Again, moving to the greater reliability of lightweight capabilities that reduce the level of effort on behalf of the scientists and enable good tools to be reused in multiple settings. More time for discussion, some lunch. We typically go to one or more restaurants in the area. Lunch is on your own. Oops, reconvene at 1. And then we'll be hearing from Cecilia Aragon with her case study from the astrophysics community. Again, an important tool that is critical to scientists in time-sensitive, again, scientific collaborations, also cross-cultural global collaborations. And we'll also have time in the afternoon for breakout sessions. I will support the remote people by hanging up the phone and letting them discuss for a while. I've created some places where we can take notes in the wiki, and I'll make sure that people are comfortable if you'd like to use that in your discussions.